invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Brother Ezekiel here, the beginning of this book. He's 30 years into the captivity of the children of Israel in Babylon, a 70-year captivity, if we understand things correctly. And the Lord is using him in that captivity to speak yet into the nation of Israel and those that are brought captive, and to bring us this good work of God. We see in the book of Ezekiel that, I find it interesting, we see the first Old Testament reference to he being called by the Lord, Son of Man. And I don't know what all that means and what all that's about, but we know the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of Man. And but I find that to be an interesting thing about our brother and the way the Lord refers to him in this. In verse number 3, we want to take a look here and from this go on into our message. And here Ezekiel is writing, and he said unto me, the Lord is speaking unto Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can these, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Father, that you'd help us with it. Help, Father, that we'd rightly divide it, and we thank you, Father, for it. And we praise your name, Father, for the way that you've blessed already in the day. Lord, as your people, as we come before you and worship you, help us, Father, that we'd worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, that you indeed would feed us and fill up our cups. And Lord, we might rejoice in you and might render unto you the praise and honor and glory that's due your name. Father, as your people in the church, in this church here, Austin Baptist Church, Father, that we might be reminded about how we are to go and how we are to operate, Father. Help us in that. Help us, Father, that we would be obedient unto you in it. And Father, for those that are here this morning and that are not saved under the hearing of my voice, Father, we pray that you just might visit them and touch them. Lord, they might see their great sin. They might see their iniquity and their wickedness before you, their condemnation for sin that rests squarely upon them because of their sin. And Father, we pray that you'd show them Jesus Christ and make him precious to them, Lord, and the salvation of their souls. Lord, work that they might come to you in repentance and faith. Lord, you'd save them. Father, that the Spirit would move and that you would convict and bless in that way. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. And we thank you for the blessings already in the day. And your word has been brought forth in the songs and the prayer unto you. And pray, Father, you'd help us at this time. Lord, take me out of the way and just speak. Speak to us all, Father. We need you. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, Ezekiel, the scripture says in verse number 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he, that is the Lord, said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And we need to listen to Ezekiel's answer, because it is the answer. It's the relevant answer for us today. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel declares, said, only you know, Lord. It's in your hand. It's in your power. And it's in your work. It's in your desire. It's in your will. O Lord God, thou knowest. Son of man, can these bones live? He said, already said there in verse number 2, there was a whole lot of them and they were very dry. No moisture. You know, you can't have life without moisture. You know, there can't be any spiritual life without the fountain of water that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're very dry. Can these bones live? Ezekiel declares unto the Lord, O Lord God, thou knowest. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's blessing. The dry bones in our day. the dry bones in our day. There's a great parallel here between the Lord dealing with Ezekiel and what he is, the message and the prophecy that he's sending to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel in captivity, and where we live today, how it is with us today. It goes on in verse number 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We see here first that there's a call of the Lord upon Ezekiel, and the Lord has taken Ezekiel and he sent him to preach to these dry bones. It's the Lord that's brought Ezekiel there. It's the Lord that has brought Ezekiel to this place, and he's caused him to see this, and he's asking this question, Son of man, can these dry bones, can these bones live? He says unto him, prophesy upon these bones. There's a call that we have upon us as the Lord's people, as the Lord's church today. There's a call, and we as Ezekiel, our brother, need to obey. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. So the Lord's going to tell what to say. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's what the Lord said to Ezekiel. That's the message that's he's given him to declare. That's the calling and the message that has been given. He's called Ezekiel to do this. He's given him the message to preach. So he's equipped him with that. And what do we see? We see obedience, don't we? In verse number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. A calling, a message, and Ezekiel, our brother, obeyed, and we need to obey too. We have a calling. We've been given the message. The message is not our own. The calling is not of ourself. And as our brother did, we need to obey. So I prophesied as I was commanded, verse 7. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. They went back together in the order of the way the bones are in a man. That's impossible. Not when the Lord's at hand. How can preaching to these dry bones do anything? How can preaching to these very dry dead bones do anything? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? He said to the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes, one of those groups there that stood against him and railed upon him during the time of his ministry. He declared unto them a very serious and a very straightforward thing. He says, you're like whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Couldn't help but think of that in consideration of this message. You know, that's the way it is with mankind naturally. We're dead. I mean, all the way dead. Dead. What kind of sense does it make to preach to dry bones? Well, tell you what, it makes sense if the Lord commands it. I don't know about that message. I don't know if that's good enough. Listen, it is good enough. It is the best. The word of the Lord is what we're given. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. As impossible as that is with you and me, it's not impossible with God. And when I beheld it, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. It's been declared here in verse number 6, and we're going to see it again up here in verse number 13 as we get to it. The call is from the Lord, and the message is given to us by the Lord, and we need to be obedient to tell it. The power is also from the Lord, is it not? The power and the working of this, that which is dead coming to life, is of the Lord. He says in verse number 6, what the Lord tells Ezekiel, look there at the latter part of that verse, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. All this working of God amongst mankind, the Lord saving sinners and calling sinners to salvation and saving sinners and putting those that he saved in his church and the work and ministry of the church, this is God's work. This is his moving amongst mankind. This is his blessing and his favor, his touch, his mercy upon mankind. And he does it and he works it. It is of him. And here these bodies are now there. They're all put together. They've got sinews. The bones are where they ought to be. The flesh is together. This impossible thing has happened. And they're there, but they have no breath in them. And again, the command of the message to preach comes to our brother Ezekiel, and the Lord says unto him, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. I couldn't help but think of the Lord Jesus dealing there with Nicodemus, a parallel as we see things, as the Lord has showed us in our day, as he speaks to him in John chapter 3, verse number 8, and telling him, you know, Nicodemus doesn't understand, you must be born again. He's a master, he's a leader, he's a teacher in Israel, and he just doesn't get it. He's thinking physical, he's not understanding spiritually. The Lord Jesus says to him, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. We are given, or are called in this calling by the Lord, and made his children. We are given the message to preach, but we got to remember the power is of the Lord. And you know what? As Ezekiel prayed and as he prophesied to the wind, who's in the wind? Who's behind the wind? What is it that the scripture says about Adam when the Lord formed Adam of the dust of the ground? It says there, that the Lord breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. He's the giver of life, the Lord is, physically and spiritually. You know what? As Ezekiel prophesied and was commanded of the Lord to prophesy into the wind that the breath of life might come into these slain, you know, we need to be praying that the Lord would move with his Spirit. If the Lord doesn't move with his Spirit, there won't be any change for anybody. There won't be any salvation at all. We need to pray that the Lord would move and plead and go to the Lord, that he would beseech him, that he would work in the midst of the hearts of those. Because see, we can carry the message to them. We've been called to do so. And may we obey as our brother did and do so. But you know what? We can only go so far. It's the Lord that's got to work on that soul. It's the Lord that's got to break that heart. Prophesy unto the wind. So I prophesied, verse number 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them. That's impossible. Not when the Lord's at hand. Oh, Brother Jim, I've prayed for them for years. I've prayed for them for decades. And nothing has changed. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord does save after praying for some for decades, doesn't he? Amen? Oh, they're so bad, they're so wicked, they're so vile. It's not worth it for me to engage them. Oh, yes, it is. If the Lord can save some of the characters of the Scripture, certainly he can save them. Oh, wait a minute. If the Lord can save the likes of me, he can save them. Oh, wait a minute. If the Lord can save the likes of you, he can save them, can he? Because you know what? I've said it and it's true. I'm the worst sinner I know. As wicked as Manasseh was, I'm the worst sinner I know. And I'm the one that needed saving. And I believe every child of God would say the same about themselves. We need to pray that the Lord would move. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The Lord commanded, prophesy, and our brother obeyed. Then he said unto me, verse 11, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. We're going to see this afternoon, Lord willing, in our consideration about Cain. We're studying in the book of Jude, and the way of Cain, Brother Jude refers to, and we're going to take a look at that. Cain was in this same situation as the nation of Israel was. They had followed after their sin and engaged in their sin and disobeyed the Lord. What the Lord promised in chastisement and judgment came upon them, and in time the nation collapsed and disappeared. And in Ezekiel's day, they say, we're dried up, we're done. There's no hope. That's what they're saying. Our hope is lost, we're cut off from our... They are there remorseful in their sin. Understand that? They are bearing the consequence of sin, and they have great regret of it. There's a difference between remorse and repentance. That's the reason that the Lord is sending the man to them, that they might repent. See, can you recall the contrast between what they say here and what Brother Daniel prays? We've sinned, Lord. Our fathers, me, Daniel says, me and we, us. Daniel wasn't there. He was taken captive as a young man. I doubt we find that Daniel was disobedient from, and we know that he sinned. We know he was a man, but he was not disobedient and idolatrous and all that. I doubt that that was the case with Brother Daniel. But when it came time and he saw from Jeremiah's writing about the time of the captivity and why it was all so, he prayed, we have sinned. He was repentant for the nation, institutional repentance, if you will. I believe that's what was at hand. As an individual, as a family, as an institution. But this people, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off from our parts. We don't like what our sin has brought upon us, and woe is us. They're not repentant. They're remorseful. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, because of that, the Lord says, he's done this with this valley of dry bones. He's brought them to be an exceeding great army. And he reiterates what Israel says about themselves. And the Lord says, therefore prophesy and say unto them. Here's where we're going to get down to it, Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord God. Once again, this is what the Lord says. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's what this is all about. This isn't about you and me. This is about the Lord being glorified and the Lord being praised. Do you have a desire that your life be to the honor and glory and praise of God? Or do you and I have a desire rather that our lives just be used up for us? How is it that you live? How is it that you and I think? Because the aim of all this is that the Lord might be known and that the Lord might be praised. And ye shall know, verse 13, that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. There's a call upon Brother Ezekiel. There's a message that he's given to preach. He obeys the Lord in that. We see that in verse number 7, verse number 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So I prophesied as I was commanded. The Lord told him in verse number 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, Do you think Ezekiel did? His pattern was to do so, wasn't it? And the Lord says, he says, prophesy and say unto them these things we read in verses 12 and 14. And we know, I believe, that as he did and as is reflected in verses 7 and 10, he did so to the people. The message, and he was obedient to the call, obedient to the message. The power he knew and understand was of the Lord, that ye shall know, verse number 6 in the latter part, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. And verse number 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And point number 4 is that the promise is of our Lord. Verse number 14, let's read it again. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Preach it, Ezekiel. I've called you to preach it. I've called you to preach it that it might be known that it's of me, that I am the Lord, and this is my promise, and performed it, saith the Lord. A call, a message, an obedience to those, knowing that the power is of the Lord and the promise is of our Lord. It's His work. Our brother, when the Lord came to him, did he believe the Lord or did he just think it was just something neat to do? No, he believed him, didn't he? He believed him. His obedience bears that out. You know, we have this same thing today. In Mark chapter 16, let's take a look at our call. It's very much the same. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. The way of salvation and the gospel has been completely manifested and shown forth. And we as His people, especially in His church, in His New Testament Baptist church, we have a call. Look at this. In Mark 16, verse number 14, afterward he, that is the Lord Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. If they're subject to it, you and I are subject to it. And may God forgive us. May we repent of it. May we not have remorse about any lack of obedience that we have in hearing the call of the Lord and the message of the Lord and our lack of declaring the message of the Lord and the result of that. If we as the Lord's people and the Lord's churches see the numbers reducing and fewer people we would say being saved, well, are we being obedient to the call? Are we being obedient to tell the message? Tell the message. We need to pass out tracts. But you know what? We need to tell folks of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to speak to them in true concern for their souls. Listen to what he says. They had unbelief about the Lord's resurrection. They had hardness of heart. We're subject to it too. May we not be remorseful about it. May we be repentant about it when we should be. And may we be obedient as our brother was. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. That's what he said. We just tell what the Lord has given us to do. And their unbelief, hardness of heart, verse number 14, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got a call. We've been saved by the Lord, and we've been called of Him to work in His vineyard and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to most creatures, to every creature, everybody that crosses our life, everybody that we come in contact with. Listen, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. I'm talking about talking to folks about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they know the Lord as Savior? Oh, it's good to invite them to services, and well, we should. It's good to give them gospel tracts, and well, we should. But listen, Ezekiel was called to preach a message, to tell a message, to declare a message. And it will work because the power of God is behind it. And remember, He's given the promise. But understand, brothers and sisters, he won't use any other means. He won't use anything else. He'll use what he's given and what he's ordered. It is his work. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's talking about the obedience of the Lord. And he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, first things first. Salvation is first. And obedience and baptism is second. Many other scriptures, and I know there are those that take this passage and they run off with it with us. I've been thinking about this, what Peter declares to us in one of his epistles, that even now, to make a comparison with the ark and Noah and his family being saved, even doth baptism now save us. Think about that. Taking a bath, being dunked in water isn't going to save anybody, okay? The operation, the performing of baptism. But you know what does save us and what the scripture declares and what the Lord Jesus here told his church to go and proclaim the gospel? Well, isn't that what baptism? That's the sense in which baptism saves us, not the baptizing of an individual, but what it typifies, what it shows. It's the gospel that saves sinners. That Jesus came and that he lived perfectly. He's the Son of God without spot or without blemish. He gave himself willingly on the cross of Calvary, and there he died. He was buried and he rose again. It's that which baptism typifies that saves us. Not baptism itself. Obedience of the Lord is that sinners that repent, believe, the Lord saves, that they should be baptized. To testify to the world that they identify with Christ. To testify to that New Testament Baptist church which is administering that ordinance unto them that they identify with Christ. That I needed Christ to die for me. I needed Christ to be buried for me. I needed Christ to raise from the dead for me. Without that, I have no hope. I needed him and do need him even now. So we have a call. He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Faith in the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Then we have a message also, don't we? And I've mentioned it already, but we turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We have a calling as the Lord's people, just like our brother did. And we have a message also to declare too, don't we? In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, the apostle desires to go to Rome and preach the gospel to them. He says in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That word ashamed, I was talking to somebody recently, there's not much shame in our world today. That whole thing about shame is interesting. There's good shame and there's bad shame. Okay, that's the way I reckon it now. Shame, when we're ashamed, what happens? Well, we believe something or we're doing something that we don't want somebody to know about. Let's take it from our standpoint as being the children of God. We say we're saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for us. He's given his life for us. He's ransomed us. He's made us his own through what he's done for us. And I'm willing for some people to know that, but I'm not willing for other people to know that, because when certain people that I would tell that, I would maybe blush or get hot or sweaty hands or whatever. And I think part of that is this struggle and this wrestle, this warfare that we have with the old man. It's the old man that's manifested himself there. But we don't need to be ashamed of the Lord. We don't need to be afraid. We need to search our hearts before God if we're afraid that some will find out that we're saved. The apostle says, and that's this word ashamed is from a Greek word that means to be ashamed. Okay, not confounded or confused. It's the way it is in some of the New Testament scriptures where it uses that word ashamed. And it comes from two words, two other Greek words that talk about just being ashamed, to blush. Maybe we might be doing something, as a child we would do something that we were told not to do, and it was sinful and wicked and wrong and all that, and then it's found out, and then we're caused to blush. The scripture refers to that also as confusion of face. We have pursued it ourselves, but we don't want anybody to know. The apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? It's the power of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And praise God, it came to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. Amen? Oh, we've got a message, and we don't need to be ashamed of it. And listen, if it is so, if we are at if we are here on the brink of the Lord wrapping up this old world and wrapping up time, our time is limited to tell sinners about the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and their need. May we tell them. May we tell them. May God help us that we can be convicted of Him to tell them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a familiar passage also, I trust it is with you. Our brother Paul, he declares here what the gospel is in very clear terms. Moreover, brethren, he declares to the church at Corinth and to us, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Hear that? He preached that unto them. He declared it unto them, as he is going to say, preached unto you, which ye also have received. Have you received the gospel of Christ? Have you received him? Do you believe in him? Do you identify with Christ? Do you need Christ? We've got a great message to declare, and it's from the Lord, which also I've received. Ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, by the gospel of Jesus Christ for us. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Interesting in the scriptures is always, there are in several places, as the brother writes, as he's inspired of the Lord to write, there's always that little caveat. There's that little thing that's there. Are you saved? Are you really saved? See, a professor, but not a possessor, would be one that has believed in vain. There's no losing of salvation. When the Lord gives everlasting life, he gives everlasting life. When the sinner is saved, they're saved. What's your confidence in? Is your confidence in a facade, or is your confidence in Christ? Makes all the difference in the world, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered, there it is again. He preached in verse 1, he preached in verse 2. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I have told you what the Lord has given me. I needed the Lord Jesus to die for me. The Apostle Paul says that he was a very wicked man and a sinful man, even though he was very religious. He declared that he wasted the church of God. And he says that, I believe, in tones that are with disdain. He hates that was the case with him. But the Lord showed him mercy, didn't he? Praise God, he's a merciful God. Brother Mark brought that out this morning. We should never be grumbling about the mercy of the Lord. We think others are worse than us. No one's worse than me. I am wicked. But praise God, he has saved my soul through Jesus Christ. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. This is the saved speaking. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And this is how sure of that resurrection he is. He was seen of Cephas, or of Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. 500 brethren, not to mention the sisters and the children that might have been there. 500 witnesses, of whom the greater part remain to this present. You can go and find them, and they'll tell you they saw Jesus alive. Some are fallen asleep, some are dead. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. The apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ too. That's what qualified him to be an apostle. We have a great message, don't we? Indeed, we have a great message. In Matthew chapter 20, let's take a look over here. We have a calling. We have a message, just like Brother Ezekiel. And in regards to that message, let's read here in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Here's our message, the same thing that he said before he died. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, Matthew 20, 18. And this is what the Lord Jesus said before he accomplished this. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. You know what? That gospel that the Apostle Paul proclaims there in 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord Jesus Christ sanctions it. He says, that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? They gave witness that he did so, but the Lord Jesus came to do so. That is the message that we declare. Not ourselves, not how great Olmsted Baptist Church is, although we love Olmsted Baptist Church, we love one another, and the blessings of the Lord upon us, it's great. But how great Jesus is, and how sinners can be saved through repentance and faith in him. And then we need to remember, number three, that the power is of God. We have a great calling from the Lord, a great message to preach, a powerful message, because the power is of our Lord. Matthew 28. This is just something we want to pull out of this, and this is familiar to you, I trust. In Matthew chapter 28, that ye might know, he told Ezekiel, that ye might know that this is of the Lord. He says in verse number 18, the Lord Jesus does. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What's lacking? And you know, there's this thing of responsibility and authority and wherewithal to do a thing. It's a terrible thing to be given a responsibility for a thing, but not have authority or wherewithal. You know, people can be put in a position in a company to be responsible for a thing, but have no horsepower to get the job done. That's a terrible place to be in. You know what? Our Lord Jesus was responsible to bring salvation. And you know what? Because he's God, he had the power to do it. And besides that, in the strictest sense of authority, he had the directive from the Father to do it. So understand that. That word power is talking about ability, talking about responsibility, because he's the only Savior of the world. He's the only Savior that there is. And he's the only one that could be the Savior. And he came and fulfilled those things necessary to be so. And you know what? He was sent of the Father. He said, everything about my ministry is after the Father's will. I'm doing what the Father sent me to do. Jesus wasn't a freelancer, and nor should you and I be. Amen? But he came to do what the Father gave him to do. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The power is of our Lord. He's called. He's given the message to preach. May we not deviate from that. May we hear the simplicity of it. Oh, these dry bones come alive. Well, that's impossible. You need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Well, that's impossible. Not if the Lord's at hand. Not if we're praying to the Lord that he would move and that his Spirit, the wind of his Spirit would move. Oh, we'll see the effects, won't we? Because the Lord is at hand and it is the Lord's work. And then fourthly, the call, the message, the power is of our Lord. Then fourthly, the promise of our Lord is to work in us and with us. Here in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, listen simply what it says. The commission is threefold indeed, to teach the nations the gospel, as we read over in Mark, to tell them about the gospel, baptize those that declare that they have been saved and believe in the Lord, and then to teach those that are believers and those that enter into the fellowship of the church and the membership of the church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Lord has commanded things beyond salvation, beyond baptism, and we're to grow in those things and serve the Lord and meet together to worship the Lord. And listen to this. Don't ever forget this. May we never forget this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us. Was he not there with Ezekiel? Didn't he, it says in the spirit, whether it happened literally, I don't know, but Ezekiel surely experienced it. And you know what? The Lord took Ezekiel, and however he did it, he put him in that valley of dry bones, didn't he? And he gave him a call, he gave him a message, and he obeyed. And what did the Lord do? He caused those very dry bones to live. And may we remember that. The Lord is with us. Especially we are saved and in his church. He is with us, and may we ever, ever remember and have great confidence him in that. Mark chapter 16, I enjoy this verse. This verse is a help. It's speaking along the same lines of what we read there in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's where he is now. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. It's his work. You know who the only one is that'll do the forsaken if there's forsaken being done? It's you and me. It's not the Lord. He's not going to fake forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's given a promise. He's given a call. He's given a message. We need to obey him in that call. We need to obey him in preaching of that message that he's given us. We need to know that the power is from him because he's promised it. And he will work with us, confirming the word with signs following. We don't need the signs. The signs are past. We've got this. Amen. And may the Lord help us in it.